Jesus sinners doth receive. That is the conscious firmness of the Christian church. According to the first letter of St. Paul to Timothy in chapter 3, verse 16, we have, it is suggested, an ancient hymn of the church. Great, we confess, he wrote, is the mystery of our religion. He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. Now, of course, this is a jubilant outburst of song, and at the same time, a great confession. We are told that the Christian church summarized its beliefs in this way, in song and in storied words. What did those early Christians rejoice about? They rejoiced about the fact of the great reversal of the destiny of mankind. And St. Paul explains this reversal rather clearly in our text, Romans 5, verses 12 and so forth. And for that reason, our topic must read Christ reverses Adam. A right understanding of St. Paul's meaning requires us to believe with him that God is the creator of heaven and earth, and that out of this inexpressible love for life, he, the Lord of life, gave life to the first man. We read in Genesis 2, male and female, he created them. Magnificently endowed, destined for eternal life with God, if man would accept his created position as a child of God, Adam and Eve could look forward toward a future entirely beyond the capacity of reason or poetry to describe. It's beyond the possibility of the human imagination. But this destiny was not to be fulfilled in that way. They gave way to the temptation to become more than God had created them to be. They wanted to be like God. And since they had not been made to be like God, they had to reject the Creator by their disobedience, by perverting his command, by their pursuit of knowledge of good and of evil, as the Bible has. The consequence of their action was immediately revealed. Their lives were exposed, and the predicted sentence was pronounced. And St. Paul's summary includes all this. He writes, therefore, as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sins were not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. The profundities of this statement would take a long time to set forth, because Paul summarizes a great event, the tragedy of man as well as the glory of man in Jesus Christ, who was a type of him who was to come. The sins which we do, by which we ruin ourselves, injure our neighbor and offend our God, the sins enumerated in the Ten Commandments and elsewhere in the Scriptures, all these have their common origin in the first sin of unbelief of the first man and his wife. Unbelief regarding the word which God had spoken. Unbelief which led them to pervert the first word God has spoken to them regarding their future. Unbelief which led to disobedience and action, exhibited by Adam on that fateful day of the fall. And the end of all this is our death, our judgment, our damnation. But Christ, and thanks be to God that he did it, reversed the consequences of Adam's fall for us. This is the great news of the Christian church, the good news. This is the reason why the church could say he was manifest in the flesh, vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. You see, he made himself a gift to mankind by assuming our human nature, being born of the Virgin Mary. He made himself the restitution for the guilt and sin of Adam to the last person born on the last day. He died on the cross, but was vindicated by the Spirit of God in his resurrection from the dead on Easter day. And the vindication of his deed by the Spirit entails also the justification of you and me, of all who accept his gift. And so the apostle is able to write, the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Let me repeat this complicated statement. The free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. It means the newness of life begins here and now. It begins, although it is not completed. And for this reason also Paul introduced his theme of the mystery of our religion with the words we read prior to our text. But God showed his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Let us sing about the mystery of religion and rise and chant the Te Deum Laudamus on page 35.
March 3rd, Jerry Eichmann.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our lesson for today, which also serves as the text of our meditation, is the account of the temptation of our Lord by Satan, according to St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But Jesus answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Then the devil took him into the holy city, and he stood him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will give his angels charge concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone."